I coalesce the vapor of human experience into a viable and logical comprehension.
That's Frankenstein.
Is anybody gonna die?
I don't have a chance.
Der Schwartz.
I am Frau Blücher.
That lovely audio montage means it's time for another installment of our docuseries about Mel Brooks films, Young Blazing Producers, with Milwaukee's Patrick McGilligan. He is the author of Funny Man, Mel Brooks. Today, Pat tells us about Mel's 1974 horror comedy, Young Frankenstein. While this movie may be Brooks' high watermark as a director, the idea for the movie was actually the brainchild of another Milwaukeean, the film star Gene Wilder.
Gene wrote most of that script, and he'd write it after sitting around and talking with Mel for a long time and, spitballing ideas for scenes and characters. And then Gene would go away and do most of the writing, and then Mel would read it, and he would critique it, and he would change it. And that's how that script grew. So it really is a Gene Wilder script. And consequently, it's Gene Wilder's showcase as an actor. He's really anchors the film with a very delightful performance.
I alone succeeded in discovering the secret of bestowing life. Nay, even more, I myself became capable of bestowing animation upon lifeless matter. It can't work!
You know, Mel is not in the film because Gene early on said, "Mel, I don't want you to be in the film because you'll break the fourth wall. You'll wink at the audience, and I really want to present this as like a serious comedy about Young Frankenstein." I'm not sure how he won that argument, except that he had the upper hand. He was writing the script, and he wanted Mel just to direct. Consequently, I think it's Mel's best directed film because he was focusing on the performances and on the scenes, and it's very, very smoothly and beautifully directed, very beautifully designed. The performances are just perfect, and you might miss Mel because Mel could be very funny on the screen in his parts. He's very funny in Blazing Saddles, for example. But nonetheless, it makes it his strongest film as a director.
Yeah, and it's interesting that while filming Blazing Saddles, Gene Wilder had been very impressed with his co-star Madeline Kahn, and so Gene had suggested that she play Dr. Frankenstein's assistant Inga, but she didn't. Why not?
She wanted the other part. But that opened the door to Terry Garr, who was having a romantic relationship with Gene Wilder at the time. And she's really very cute and very funny in the film.
In other words, his veins, his feet, his hands, his organs would all have to be increased in size.
Exactly.
You know, with Madeline Kahn, she began with Blazing Saddles to have some say-so over what she would do and what she wouldn't do. And she would add those little things, you know. I mean, you don't hear the same things about Gene Wilder in Young Frankenstein. He was following the script that he wrote.
Yeah.
Or about Peter Boyle or about Terry Garr.
Yeah.
But, you know, Madeline Kahn would always do little things to improve what her idea of what she was doing in the scene. And Madeline Kahn had a long, really great career doing a lot of things, but she's remembered most nowadays for her Mel Brooks films.
Yeah. All of the women, Madeline Kahn, Terry Garr, and Cloris Leachman, are all really great in Young Frankenstein. How much do you think their performances contributed to the movie's success?
Well, it's a beautifully written script, so
yes.
The performances were written into the script and the characters, and then it's beautifully cast by Mel, and so he gets Cloris Leachman, who was on television but wasn't really famous as that kind of over-the-top comedian that she becomes in Mel Brooks' films.
That music.
Yes, it's in your blood. It's in the blood of all Frankensteins. It raises the soul when words are useless. Your grandfather used to play it to the creature he was making.
And it was you all the time.
Yes.
You played that music in the middle of the night.
Yes.
So that I would.
Yes.
Then you and Victor were.
Yes. Yes. Say it. He was my boyfriend.
Mel is not really known as a great director of actors. I mean, because they're playing in various ways in his films, cartoon characters. But he's very, very good at getting types or performers who are really going to go off on the script and really take the script a notch higher. And you see that casting, I think, really, really particularly done well in his earliest films.
When Mel would just pull lightly on the reins for Madeline or me or Cloris, if he wasn't getting what he wanted, he would start tugging.
Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks had a lot of disagreements about the script. Can you talk a bit about that?
Sometimes with Mel, you never knew. Sometimes he might set up an argument just so that he could win it, you know. So, for example, he decided that he didn't want to have the monster sing an Irving Berlin song.
Dressed up like a million-dollar trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Cooper, Cooper!
Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or Rumbarellers in their midst.
Please!
Gina put it in there because he knew Mel would like it. And Mel didn't like it. And Mel screamed at him, if I put this in, everybody's going to accuse me of repeating myself and doing the same kind. You know, and they really would have very screaming arguments. And then at the end, Mel would say, okay, it's in. And Gene would say, why now do you say it's in? And Mel said, you convinced me by your intransigence.
Yeah.
Despite all that, after all the years that followed, all the decades that followed, they never worked together again on another film.
Patrick McGilligan is the author of Funny Man, Mel Brooks. You can find out more about Pat and Young Frankenstein at WPR.org/beta.
For quite a while, I've always felt alone, and that is how I perceive things. It's through the filter of my own consciousness.
Otessa Moshfegh joins us to talk about her latest novel, Death in Her Hands. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.